He himself bore our sins in his body upon the cross.
I saw a mysterious personage in front of me.
Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church.
And I saw that my hands and feet had holes in them and were bleeding profusely.
If then we have died with Christ,
from that day on, I have been mortally wounded.
We believe that we shall also live with him. By his wounds you have been healed.
Padre Pio, the priest who bore the wounds of Christ.
Hello, my name is Father Andrew Apostoli. I'm a member of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. I'd like to welcome you to our series entitled Padre Pio, the Priest Who Bore the Wounds of Christ. I'd like to greet you with the greeting of St. Francis. May the Lord give you his peace. Today, we're going to focus on probably the most fascinating aspect of Padre Pio's life, and that is that he bore the sacred stigmata, the five wounds of Jesus Christ. Padre Pio, as we know, was a priest who lived in southern Italy, and he, from there, influenced people all over the world. He became one of the most famous priests. People sought him out for his blessings, his encouragement, his guidance, and his help. We know about the wounds of Jesus Christ. When our blessed Lord was crucified, when he gave his life there on the cross, the Lord, we know, was nailed to the cross. And how do we know that? Actually, not from the account of the crucifixion in the Gospel, but from the story of St. Thomas. Poor St. Thomas, the apostle whom we call the Doubting Thomas. But remember, the other apostles had seen our Lord on Easter night. Thomas was not with them. And when the apostles told him later on, we've seen the risen Lord, he wouldn't believe it until he laid down conditions. He said until he could put his finger into the place where the nails had gone through the hands of Jesus, and until he could put his hand into the wound on Jesus' side, only then would he believe. The wounds would convince him that it was Jesus. Why? Because those wounds were the sign of Jesus' love. Isn't it interesting that our blessed Lord kept those wounds on his glorified body? We know that throughout the centuries, people have had great love for Jesus crucified. And in the case of St. Francis of Assisi, we know that our blessed Lord allowed St. Francis to share those wounds. In fact, he was the first man ever to bear the five wounds we call the stigmata, the wounds of Jesus that he received in his hands, feet, and side. You see behind me on the triptych here, the illustration of St. Francis receiving those five great wounds. St. Francis was praying on a mountain in Italy called Mount Alvernia. St. Francis had gone there, and this was in September of the year 1223. It was about 3 years before he died. Actually, 1224, he's 2 years before he died. And St. Francis had gone there to prepare for the feast of St. Michael the Archangel, which was on September the 29th. St. Francis had a great love for St. Michael the Archangel. He was the prince of the angels. And so St. Francis would spend a period of time, a kind of personal Lent, there on Mount Alvernia, praying and fasting in preparation for the feast of St. Michael. And while he was there, St. Francis offered a prayer to Jesus. He asked for two things. He said, Lord, may I experience, as much as any human being can, a share in the pain that you suffered when you died for us on the cross. And secondly, can I share also in the love that filled your heart when you died for us on the cross of Calvary. And the response to St. Francis's prayer was the receiving of the stigmata. And this happened on September 17th, 1224. And you'll see on the triptych that is behind me a version of the seraph angel. Christ appeared in the form of a seraph angel with his arms extended, and you could see the wounds in his hands, feet, and side, and the wings of the angel kind of supporting Christ in flight. And this figure, St. Francis, as he was praying, and St. Francis was praying on the ground, he was kneeling there with his arms extended, and the figure of Christ on the cross came down toward him. And then all of a sudden it stopped. And out of the hands, the wounds in the hands, the wound on the side, the wounds in the feet, these rays of light came forth and they pierced through the hands and feet and side of St. Francis. And St. Francis realized that he had received the answer to that prayer. Jesus had shared with him the wounds on the cross, the five great wounds that we call the stigmata. I should point out that St. Francis had not only the wounds, but his contemporaries, biographers, tell us that he also had in his hands and feet the stumps of the nails, so that it was almost literally someone took a nail and drove it through his hands and through his feet. And he had the heads of the nails were embedded in the palms of his hands, the top of his feet, and on the bottom of the nails actually came out and were bent over. And St. Francis was to have the wounds for 2 years, the last 2 years of his life. He tried, we know, to hide those wounds. St. Francis tried to actually cover them over by wearing the sleeves of his habit very long. And, of course, the pain was just incredible. Padre Pio, on the other hand, was the first priest, and only the second man that we knew had received the wounds of the stigmata. He was to bear those wounds for 50 years. Padre Pio, by the way, did not have the stumps of the nails in his hands and feet. He had the wounds in his hands and feet and side. Some important things to keep in mind about Padre Pio and his reception of the stigmata, which occurred on September the 20th, 1918. First of all, we have to remember that after Padre Pio was ordained a priest on August 10th, 1910, he said his first mass in his little hometown of Pietrelcina on August the 14th, 4 days later. Toward the end of that month that he was ordained in, he began to feel a pain in his hands. In fact, he informed his spiritual director and confessor at the time, who was Father Benedetto, Padre Benedetto, and he told him about this. At the same time, he was inflicted with tremendous illness. He was forced, because of illness, the superiors sent him back to his family to convalesce in his native village of Pietrelcina, thinking that the climate there would be better for him. He had always had bronchial problems, even from childhood. They also, too, during this time, Padre Pio, we're talking about the period from about 1910 to 1917, Padre Pio in 1915 was called up to military service several times. They kept sending him home because he would get sick every time he would report for service. And finally, on March 5th, 1918, Padre Pio received exemption from military service. This was a time of Padre Pio suffering greatly physically in his health. And also, too, being saddened that he could not be with the friars. He wanted so much to be with them. So we looked at the strange pains that began to afflict Padre Pio toward the end of August 1910. On September 20th, 1915, Padre Pio received the invisible stigmata. I believe it was in Pietrelcina when this happened. And here, Jesus gave to Padre Pio the wounds, but they were invisible. In other words, he suffered the pain of the wounds in his hands, feet, and side, but he did not have any visible wounds to be seen. And this delighted Padre Pio. And the reason was, he wanted to suffer the pain with Jesus, but he didn't want to draw any attention to himself. And he knew if he had the visible stigmata, he would become an object of curiosity, of veneration. He didn't want that publicity. He wanted only to suffer quietly in a hidden way with Jesus. And so he had received then the invisible stigmata September 20th, 1915, exactly 3 years before he received the visible stigmata. But something else also happened in that period of time that is important to mention, and that is Padre Pio received another mystical experience, and that was called the transverberation of the heart. Let me, this first began to occur in 1912. It was related to those pains he had actually begun to feel in his hands earlier on. This is the way he describes what happened. Mystics call this the wounds of love, or St. John of the Cross called transverberation. The soul is inflamed with love of God, is interiorly attacked by a seraph who sets it on fire by piercing it through with a fiery dart. And Padre Pio's heart would be pierced with this transverberation of the heart. By the way, we do know that St. Teresa of Avila experienced this transverberation of her heart. This is the way Padre Pio explained it in 1912, August 1912. I was in church last Friday making my Thanksgiving after Mass when I suddenly felt my heart pierced by an arrow of such living and ardent fire that I thought I should die. I have no adequate words to convey to you the intensity of that flame. The soul that is a victim of these consolations is struck dumb. He couldn't describe it. It seemed to me as if some invisible force had plunged me entirely into this fire. I had experienced these transports of love before, but on the other occasions, the fire was less intense. This time, a second more would have been sufficient to separate my soul from my body. How intense this experience was of this fire of love that pierced right into the heart of Padre Pio. Later on in January 1915, he describes this interior wound of love even more graphically. This is what he wrote. The agony I am experiencing is so great that I do not believe I shall suffer more at the supreme hour of death. I feel that someone is plunging a knife into me time after time, a knife with a very sharp point, and as if it were emitting fire, which passes through my heart and searches its very depths. Then, with all his might, this person pulls it out to repeat a little later the same operation. All this, as these knife thrusts are repeated, causes my soul to blaze up more and more with exceeding love of God. So Padre Pio began to feel the pain in his hands, 1910, shortly after his ordination. He later on experienced the invisible stigmata, 1915, and here, a little bit even before the invisible stigmata, he had experienced the transverberation of his heart. We know that people who experience this transverberation of the heart, sometimes refer to it as the seraph's assault. I mentioned the description of St. John of the Cross when he described it as the soul inflamed with love of God is interiorly attacked by a seraph who sets it on fire by piercing it through with a fiery dart, and filled Padre Pio's soul with deeper love of God, sweetness of heart. This was the purifying love of Christ. Padre Pio was being ready to receive the visible stigmata and the beginning of a tremendous mission as a priest who bore the wounds of Jesus Christ. We're going to take a break now, and when we come back, we're going to look at the story of Padre Pio receiving the visible stigmata. It's very, very moving.
Padre Pio says, I suffered a lot. I suffered tremendously, and I still believe in God. I still love him. And he showed his love to Padre Pio with all the miracles that have been granted through his intercession. Totally determined his life and what he wanted to do based on God's will for him. Whether he suffer, whether he be healed, whether he, die at a young age, whether he live to be old. you know, he expressed his heart and his desire in the same way that Christ did in the garden. You know, if it can pass from me, then let it. But if not, your will be done.
Welcome back to our program on Padre Pio, the priest who bore the wounds of Christ. We're speaking about those wounds today, those wounds called the sacred stigmata, the wounds that Jesus received on the cross by when his hands were and feet were nailed there and his heart was pierced. We've already said that Padre Pio on September the 20th, 1915, had received these wounds invisibly, called the invisible stigmata. 3 years later, on September 20th, 1918, Padre Pio was to receive these wounds in a visible way. And we have a beautiful and very moving description of how Padre Pio received those wounds. He was asked by his spiritual director at the time, Father Benedetto, to give him an account of the stigmatization. And this is what he writes. It's very moving. What can I tell you in answer to your question regarding my crucifixion? My God, what embarrassment and humiliation I suffer by being obliged to explain what you have done to this wretched creature. Here begins his description now. On the morning of the 20th of last month, September, in the choir, after I had celebrated Mass, I yielded to a drowsiness similar to a sweet sleep. All the internal and external senses, and even the very faculties of my soul, were immersed in indescribable stillness. Absolute silence surrounded and invaded me. I was suddenly filled with great peace and abandonment, which effaced everything else and caused a lull in the turmoil. All this happened in a flash. While this was taking place, I saw before me a mysterious person similar to the one I had seen on the evening of the 5th of August when he received the transverberation of the heart. The only difference was that his hands and feet and side were dripping blood. This sight terrified me, and what I felt at that moment is indescribable. I thought I should die, and really should have died, if the Lord had not intervened and strengthened my heart, which was about to burst out of my chest. The vision disappeared, and I became aware that my hands and feet and side were dripping blood. Imagine the agony I experienced and continue to experience every day. The heart wound bleeds continually, especially from Thursday evening until Saturday. Dear Father, I am dying in pain because of the wounds and the resulting embarrassment I feel deep in my soul. I am afraid I shall bleed to death if the Lord does not hear my heartfelt supplication to relieve me of this condition. Will Jesus, who is so good, grant me this grace? Will he at least free me of this embarrassment caused by these outward signs? I will raise my voice and will not stop imploring him until in his mercy he takes away not the wound or the pain, which is impossible since I wish to be inebriated with pain, but these outward signs which caused me such embarrassment and unbearable humiliation. My God, your punishment is just and your judgment right, but grant me your mercy. Lord, with your prophet I shall continue to repeat, O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger. Do not punish me in your rage. If I could sum up what Padre Pio was saying here, it was after Mass. Then on September 20th, 1918, he was making his thanksgiving in the choir loft of the little chapel there in of Our Lady of Graces in San, at the Friary in San Giovanni Rotondo. And while he was praying in front of a crucifix, a 7th century crucifix, very graphic in its illustration of the wounds of Christ. And all of a sudden he saw this person standing in front of him as he began to experience a sweet peace that almost felt like a sleep. And the person standing in front of him, who was Christ? He said he could see the blood coming from his hands and feet and side. And then the vision disappeared, and when he put his hand to his own chest, he took it back, his hand was filled with blood. He had already had the pain of the wounds and the invisible stigmata. Now, he not only had the pain, but now the wounds were visible. And you could hear from what I read how this was an embarrassment to him. In fact, he asked our Lord over and over again to take the visible wounds away. Why? Because he didn't want to become an object of veneration by the people or curiosity by others. What he wanted was to suffer silently and unseen with Jesus. But the Lord allowed him to keep those wounds because he was to have a great mission. What were those wounds like? Well, we can give just a little description of them. The wounds in Padre Pio's hands were circular and about 3/4 of an inch in diameter. Those in his feet were similar, so they were circular and 3/4 of an inch. The wound on his side was about 2 3/4 inches long and had the shape of an inverted cross. Amazingly, the wounds of Padre Pio during his lifetime never became swollen or infected, nor did they heal, even when doctors examining his wounds tried to close them. Doctors estimated that Padre Pio lost about a cup of blood each day. He would wash his own hands, the wounds, each night before retiring. I remember a friar who took care of him, Father Alessio, who was very devoted to Padre Pio. In his later years, about the last 6 years of Padre Pio's life, he couldn't get himself dressed for bed and dressed in the morning without the help of a friar. And many times, Father Alessio would assist him. And Father Alessio told us, though, when it came to taking care of the wounds, which he always covered during the day by wearing these mittens which didn't have any, the top of the fingers were omitted in the mittens. He didn't need it for that purpose, to keep his hands warm. He just needed it to cover the wounds and to prevent the blood that was dripping from the wounds from dripping all over. So he would wear these special mittens. And when he took them off at night to take care of the wounds, to remove any scab that was there, clean the wounds, he always dismissed the friar that was with him and told him to come back. He was very private when it came to the wounds. But one night, Father Alessio tells us that Padre Pio's hands were so sore, he said to Father, "Father, you must help me." And that was the one time Father Alessio got to see the wounds very close. There. He wore these mittens, I should point out, all day long. The only time he took them off was when he cleaned the wounds at night, and then again when he said Mass. But when he said Mass, he purposely wore the sleeves of his alb very long so that they would hide the wounds. He didn't want, again, to be the object of curiosity. He had tried, in fact, for a couple of days, like St. Francis, to hide the wounds that he had. They did, interestingly, about 2 weeks or so before he died, they healed. He actually died without the wounds. This was not revealed at the time of his death. I'm sure it would have caused tremendous chaos and confusion. People would have been saying, well, he was a fake. They revealed it years after his death. They had photographs of his hands and feet indicating the wounds were no longer there. Why was Padre Pio given these wounds? To become a sign of Christ crucified to our society today, to bring Jesus close to us. And, you know, his wounds are a sign to us that we too are crucified with Christ. St. Paul tells us that. He says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their flesh with its lusts, sinful lusts and desires. You know, it's interesting, we have in religious life, a kind of spiritual interpretation of the wounds, a mystical interpretation. And that is, they help us, they remind us that we have to fight our three spiritual enemies. St. John tells us in his first letter that our three main spiritual enemies are the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world is the riches of the world, materialism. Because this can distract us from God. And so the wounds of Jesus in the hands almost represent the inability to grasp the things of the world. That's why they're a kind of mystical symbolism of poverty. And so Jesus, with his hands nailed to the cross, could not grasp anything. It reminds us to be poor and poor in spirit. The wounds on Jesus' feet counter pride, another of our spiritual enemies. Because if your feet are nailed to the cross, you can't go anywhere. Not without, you know, there's an inability to do this. And so it's a reminder to us of our obedience, not to do anything on our own, but rather to do God's will in all things. And finally, the heart of Jesus was pierced open. And we know we have to fight the feelings of the flesh, where we might use the pleasures of sexuality for our own satisfaction rather than according to God's will. And so the wound on the side often is a symbol of chastity, of opening our heart to God. I should point out that the Holy See sent many doctors to investigate the wounds of Padre Pio. Some of them were believers and very devout. Others, you know, were not. Even psychiatrists studied the case of Padre Pio, and they ruled out the fact that Padre Pio either inflicted them on himself, some people might even attempt to do that, or that it was self-induced, kind of a mind-over-matter thing, or that it was demonic. And the only alternative to all of those is that it came from God, and that is what we certainly believe. So Padre Pio suffered with Christ there through the wounds of the stigmata. He suffered other sufferings of Jesus, the crowning of thorns, the scourging at the pillar. He became a great reminder to us to love God. A woman once asked him, Padre Pio, do your wounds hurt? And he said to her, certainly they do. Do you think Jesus gave them to me for good looks? We too must bear that cross with Jesus. God bless you.